Soprano Jennifer Rowley has had a very notable rise to fame in the world of opera over the past few years. Since jumping in with only one rehearsal and one day's notice at the Caramore Festival, singing the title role in Maria di Rohan by Donizetti. From then on, it really hasn't stopped for her. She is also the winner of a number of prizes and competitions, including the very prestigious 2012 Richard Tucker Career Grant. Notable debuts that are coming up for her include the Royal Opera House at Covent Garden, Opera de Lille, and the Dresden Semperoper. She made a triumphant Metropolitan Opera debut just a few short weeks ago as Musetta, yes, in La Bohème, sharing the role with Susanna Phillips. And we are so glad that she is here to talk about performances and the three more she has coming up. Jennifer Rowley, hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great pleasure to get to meet you. You've done four performances as Musetta in La Bohème.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your debut season. So how is it going? Tell us what's on your mind about
it's
being
so
at the Met.
It's so exciting.
Really?
It's a dream come true.
Yeah?
It's an absolute dream come true.
Was there anything special about coming in the door the first time? Or was there any aha moment like, oh my gosh, I'm here?
Every time you come in the door, it's kind of like, oh, it's the first day of school. But I came, actually last season I started here. I was covering Desdemona for the second run of Othello. And I came in to my first day of rehearsal, and they had called me that morning and said, we'd like you to sing the music rehearsal today.
Really?
And I was so excited. I mean, my first day walking into the building, and I was going in to sing with Jose Cura and Thomas Hampson. And I was beside myself, because Jose Cura actually conducted me in my Italian debut when I was a student at the Scuola in Bologna, Italy.
Really?
He was my conductor. So I was like, is he going to remember me? And I walked in and he gave me this huge hug and a big kiss on the face and so welcoming. And I got to sing with him instead of, you know, having him directing me. It was, we were colleagues, and I sang with Thomas Hampson, and it was like the starstruck girl from the Midwest moment, you know, and I was at the Met, you know, and it's what you dream of. Mm. It's, you know, and I keep saying this and I always feel so embarrassed about it, but it's why you got up at 7:30 and walked to class in your pajamas at the conservatory with your coffee in one hand and the sleep still in your eyes, and you know, you're thinking to yourself, I can't go to one more music theory class.
But those
but
are
it's
good
why.
Memories, though, too.
I know.
You know what, I like what you said. You get up and you go to class in your pajamas.
You do.
I remember being a student 100,000 years ago, and just that nice feeling of working towards something.
Absolutely.
You know, you can be casual about it. There's wonderful memories about that woodshedding period, isn't there?
So many wonderful memories. And amazingly enough, all those people that I did that with, all the other kids that got up with me and, you know, we walked from our dorms all the way across campus, they were here. They were here for my Met debut.
Really?
Cheering me on. It was amazing. It was amazing. And there were students actually that came to the last performance, drove all the way here from Ohio, from my undergraduate college, in a van. They just packed in and they came, and it was so special. It was so special.
Oh, and when you took your bow, you heard them, didn't you?
Oh my gosh, screaming their heads off. It
was
amazing. It's fantastic. It's been an incredible ride, and I don't want to get off of it.
So we're listening to La Bohème tonight. You, as we can see, are uniquely qualified to talk about what is happening on the stage right now.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite moments from this really iconic production?
You know, I really love Act 4. It's really my favorite.
We're coming up on.
Yeah, selfishly for me, because Musetta, it's when she changes. And I feel, Musetta is fascinating to me, especially from the Musset book. She's the one character who really changes and who really looks at the situation and says, I have to do something about this, because she's feeling this overriding guilt, because it should be her. It should be her in that bed, and it's not. And there's this sense of, I have to do something because that should be me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and she's feeling all of these emotions for her own life. And the most special moment for me is when Mimi says, in English paraphrasing, it feels like my hands will never be warm again. And Musette is not, I'm not even singing, but it's if you read about people who have died from consumption, you read about their hands being skeleton-like, and you read about this darkness in between the skin and the bones, and it's really, it's sort of the picture of the illness. Mm-hmm. And when Mimi says that, it's this light, it's this, oh, she sees her hands and she says, oh my God, this woman's really going to die, and I have to do something. And for me, it's the most special part of this opera, because it's, especially with the Zeffirelli production, it's lit so well that when Mimi puts her hands up, they're in the light, and it's almost like you can feel this coldness, this
fragility,
yeah,
of her.
Exactly.
Of her body.
Exactly. So for me, it's just a chilling moment. And in it, Act 4 is, oh,
when
so
we,
special.
Going back to the happiness of Act 2, your aria Quandum in Vo, always a highlight. And I'm certain that you sang the aria when you were a student at school. But how does an aria change when you actually play the character and put it on the stage?
It changes, actually, what you are able to do with what it means. So, for example, if you're just singing a single aria from a piece and you're going to go into an audition, obviously you don't have two boys to play with and flirt with, and you don't have a Marcello to tease, and, you know, you just have you. And so you can't really do the big, grand, mocking, teasing gestures that you can do on stage. And so, you know, Quandum in Vo, and this is so fun, Joan Dorneman and I sat down and sort of went through Quandum in Vo line by line, and there really is a double side to every word that Musetta says.
Mm.
You know, she says, Quandum in Vo soletta per la via. She could say Quandum in Vo sola per la via, but she says soletta, because it's this like teasing with her tongue, with the double T's and the deliciousness of watching Marcello watch her say that word, you know. And in an audition or in school, you don't really get into that, you know. It's just, here is my great voice and these are the most beautiful notes that I sing and please hire me, you know. But when you get on stage, you can really start to play with, you know, what is bellezza, you know, what are my beautiful parts, you know, that kind of a thing. And when you have the other people to interact with and really play with, you can get into all of those double meanings, and you get into the fun, you know.
You have had a kind of a fairy tale rise to some of the world's biggest stages, instigated by a performance at the Caramore Festival in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
How did life change after that? Because you just jumped in to sing that role, and critically, it was, you know, it was just a milestone.
It was a huge milestone, and it was the change that I needed for my voice. Up until that point, I had been singing completely coloratura repertoire. I had sung Queen of the Night, I had sung Zerbinetta, all of these small coloratura roles when I was in school and coming up, you know, in like regional productions and things like that. And when Will Crutchfield heard me for the Caramore Festival, he said, you know, there's more in there, and I want it to come out. And I think this role will do it for you. Mm-hmm. And so just working as a cover, working with the coaches, and, you know, it started to open up all of these things in my voice that I had no idea I had. And so when I found out I was going to get to do that performance, I sort of just said, okay, well, we might as well embrace this change and allow everything to open and just sing.
It happened so suddenly. How could you trust it?
I had been working on it in coachings with Will and coachings with Rochelle Jonk, who's one of the wonderful coaches for all of the apprentice artists at the Caramore Festival. And slowly everything was opening. But when you are singing, and this, I think a lot of singers will say this, when you're singing repertoire that's right for you, it just sort of pours out of your mouth. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, there's this comfortability and you really feel secure and grounded in your body because the repertoire is right. And it just, you can just allow it to come out. And that's what Maria de Rohan was for me. It was that realization of, I have a bigger instrument than what I'm using. And now I need to start to explore how to use that,
and,
you know?
And yet, didn't that get you into a bump in your career? I mean, there are ups and there are downs. Can we talk a little bit about your first scheduled appearance at the Royal Opera House?
Sure.
Tell us what happened there.
Well, you know, there is a leggera coloratura or a light lyric coloratura, and there's a dramatic coloratura. You know, it's the difference between the sound, the color, the size of a voice. And this particular role, Isabelle in Robert le Diable, it had been sung previously, and not in many productions, but it had been sung previously by June Anderson, who is a light lyric coloratura, a beautiful, stunning, stunning voice. But there weren't a lot of, you know, recordings to sort of go by. So when the Royal Opera cast me, they wanted that interesting sound, that colorful sound, that you know, dramatic coloratura sound. But that just didn't fit into the vision of what the conductor and the director had. You know, the conductor had done the production, or not the production, but the piece in his house earlier in the spring with a much lighter voice than mine. And that was what he had in mind, and that's what he wanted. And I wasn't that. And when it, you know, when it really came down to it, the voice had just grown past that.
So you didn't do the role?
I sang through all of the rehearsals up to the dress rehearsal. And it was decided that it wasn't representative of what I actually had in there to give. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was almost like putting, you know, a size 10 foot into a size 7 shoe. You know, it was just not quite right. And the people at the Royal Opera, they were, you know, great. And they really, from what I understand, really believe in me, which, I mean, is amazing and touching. And they wanted to present me in a role that would show everything that I have. And so they said, you know, I think it's better if we postpone this.
And even though you felt your voice was something else, too, it was hard for you to take, wasn't it?
It was awful. I mean, you know, I mean, you really, you get into a situation like that and you really say to yourself, is my career over?
Mm.
Did I do all of this? And it's, did it just end?
So how do you get yourself out of that?
You know, it's kind of like a breakup. It's kind of like, you know, you're in bed for 3 days and you think the world has come to an end and you can't make it happen. And you just eat Chinese takeout and watch movies and you just can't make it happen.
What
and,
is it about that 3-day period? I swear, it takes all these horrible things take about 3 days, and then you wake up one morning and you say,
and
I guess
like,
I woke
okay,
up again, and everything's all right.
I think it's time to get out of bed, and I think it's time to put on my big girl pants and go outside and try again. And honestly, what brought me out of the is my career over, you know, thought process was working here at the Met.
Yeah.
It was working here at the Met, covering the Otello with these incredible singers, and having the conductor look at me one day and say, girl, you've got this. This is yours. You have everything you need to do this. Just do it. And that was Alain Altingolu, who is wonderful.
He's a wonderful person and conductor.
Just incredible. And at that, you know, after he looked me in the eye and said that, I was like, okay, I can do this. Yeah. All right. Rebuild. Let's go. You know, press the start button. We rebuild from here.
How did you get started in music? When did you start singing?
Wow. My family is not, we're not particularly musical. We are very sporty. We love football.
Oh.
We love football. I love the New York Jets. Like, they are like my brothers. And, you know, my brother played football, and My sister was a mascot for football teams, and my little brothers play football. I mean, we, and my father wrestled for Ohio State, and we were a sports family. But I always sang in the shower. And my mother, you know, she would sit in the kitchen and she would listen and she would just be like, girl, girl, sing. And I would sing like Whitney Houston in the shower, you know, and just belt it out. And I took dance lessons when I was younger. My mom took me to dance class like 4 or 5 times a week. And when I was in high school, there was this show choir thing. And I was like, whoa, I could dance and sing outside of the shower and put those two things together, and it might be really fun. And so I auditioned and I got in, and I started to get into this, you know, singing and dancing. And then there were people in the show choir who were doing musicals, and so I kind of wanted to explore that and see what that was
and
like.
That's tempting to stick with musical.
It was very
theater,
tempting.
But what about opera? We've got about a minute left.
Well, opera didn't come in until actually my second or third year of college, because I actually started in musicals. I, you know, did summer stock theater and sang The Sound of Music and, you know, Little Shop of Horrors and that kind of thing. I mean, I was into musical theater, and then again, the voice tells you what it wants, and it just changed.
And your family was behind you?
And my family was like, what is opera? You know, but they all came to the debut, so they all now know what opera really is from seeing the Zeffirelli Bohème at the Met.
And they want you to sing the national anthem for the
for
Jets
For the
game.
Jets, yeah.
Of course they do. Soprano Jennifer Rowley sings Musetta and La Bohème just 3 more times, April 10th, 14th, and 18th. And live on Met Opera Radio on the 14th of April. I can't wait to hear that. Jennifer, how lovely to have a chance to chat with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us.